rejoice in your presence, Heavenly Father, because in your presence there is fullness of joy. We thank you again because in that presence there is that union, Lord, rejoining us again to you, regrafting, Lord, even deeper, reuniting us again deeper into you, into your presence, into your pleasures, Lord, of who you are and what you desire. Communion and fellowship, union, making us one with you until we bear your image, become more like you, reproduce your image and your likeness in us and reflect the same to our friends, to our generation, to the entire world. Lord, even in this time, Lord, you cry out for a man and woman, Lord, that you can bear you, that can carry your image and bear your image, even the image of the heavenly, Lord, that will bring forth in them the man-child, the Son of God, the unveiling of the same in their lives, as young people, as old people, male and female, Lord, because in Christ there is no male and female. And you will shine forth through us, and the whole world will see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Lord Jesus, thank you, because you're receiving us and making us that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, as you seek a glorious church that you can come forth, come for, even in this season of this time. Lord, we ask and ask for mercy. We cry out, Lord, for mercy, Lord, not to throw away, Lord, fellowship and koinonia and union with you for any other thing, knowing that in you are hid all the treasures of wisdom. And when we seek first the kingdom, the king of this kingdom, all other things will be added unto us. Lord Jesus, thank you, because in this place you take us from grace to grace, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from righteousness to righteousness, from holiness to holiness, from purity to purity, from your presence to more of your presence. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you for revealing the Christ. Thank you for you're the glory of God that raised up Jesus from the quickening us, preparing us for and as bride, for our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus, even in this season and this hour. Thank you helping us to reprioritize, Lord, to know what is of priority and importance, Lord. And as we seek first this kingdom, we know that all other things, every other area you will settle, you will sort out, the best of the best will be added unto us. So you will, men will see your glory even in our lives. We worship you, we say receive. Our hearts receive. Our time in this place, receive. Our gathering, let it be unto you, bringing glory unto you as you refresh us, as you restore. Lord, as you give back, Lord, good measure, pressed down, shaken together of our time that we spend with you, Lord, that we will know, Lord, that this is even worth it more than any other thing. Historical. We bless your holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in Jesus, and receive all the glory. Receive all the praise, receive all the honor, all the blessing, all the riches, all the adoration, all the wisdom, Lord, all the power in heaven and earth, under the earth. We worship and cry out and lift up our voice. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord as we take our seats in the presence of the Lord.
Worship,
receive.
Receive, receive this living sacrifice.
Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that our reasonable worship is to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. And I'd like to welcome in the name of Jesus, the Bishop and the Shepherd of our souls, to Zion's City Fellowship. He's the King of Zion. And so I welcome you in the name of Jesus with the covering of our fathers, Pastor and Mommy, who send their love and their prayers as well. Let's give a clap unto the Lord. We thank God for his mercies. Thank you for honoring them. I want you to turn to your neighbor and left and your right to welcome them in the name of the Lord. Send them a warm word of blessing. It's good to have you. It's good to see you. Trust you had a wonderful working week, wonderful academic week. And thank God for the weather. We thank God for his mercy and his grace. We also give you warm greetings from Prof. I hope you've shaken like five or four people around, or you've just smiled at them. We don't want Bluetooth. Let's also do divine connection. It's good to see you. Thank you so much for coming. The Lord bless you. And we also welcome the people online. Thank you for joining. The Lord bless you. Real good. The Lord bless you real good. The Lord will bless you real good. And I trust that we'll have a wonderful time in God's presence in Jesus. I'm seeing great guys. You know, every time I see you, I don't know that that's how you see yourself. You know, I always see great guys and girls, men and women, gentlemen and ladies in the presence of the Lord. I know that God has great things in store for you. And so that's why you and I have the privilege to be here, you know, every time to hear these things that kings and angels long to hear, you know. And we just thank God for the privilege and the fathers that we have in the presence of the Lord that have taught us these things over the years. And we trust that by His mercy and grace, they will see the travail of their souls and in our lives, and they'll be satisfied. And you yourself, I trust that you are seeing changes in your life. Amidst the challenges, you know, amidst the temptations to go here and there, toss to and fro, but you are not, and you remain. Because you are seeking and longing for the truth and longing for His presence, I know that He will satisfy you more than you could ever ask or think. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads as we continue. Father, we just thank You again for the privilege that we have to come and share Your word. We give You the praise and don't take it for granted. We turn again the entire gathering unto You as we have prayed initially, that You will take complete control, especially as we share the word, that You take complete control as You have. You will take preeminence, Lord, as You guide us into all truth by Your Spirit, leading us in the way we should go, sharing what we need to share, speaking and talking about what we need to talk about, that the word will come forth out of me like rivers of living water, that You will give us ears and hearts that will hear and understand. You will grant us wisdom and revelation. Yes, understanding. You will guide us into all truth, show us things to come. You will strengthen and empower us to be doers of the work and not hearers only. You will cause a change in our hearts. This engrafted word, we will receive it with meekness, and it will change our souls. It will save our mind, our will, our emotions. It will heal our bodies, supply needs. Above all, create an eternal change in our lives that will make us more like just to think more like Him, talk more like Him. Lord, effect change and impact our society and community just like Him in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank You because You will cause Him to be glorified, even in the sharing of the word, to be exalted. You will draw us closer to Him, Lord, to love Him more, to see Him more clearly, love Him more dearly, follow Him more nearly, hear Him more distinctly, obey Him more promptly, and that will be rooted and grounded in Him, and will bring forth much fruit in every area of our lives. Thy kingdom come, O God, Thy will be done. We cast out every spirit of destruction, of slumber, sleeping, of tiredness, weariness, fatigue, by whatever you are called, seeking to hinder or seek the stealing of the word. We destroy Your works. We resist and we bind and we loose the angels to minister for us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We trust for a wonderful time in the presence of God. Today we're going to be sharing about Ruth. Say Ruth. 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 The Ruth Company is what we're going to be talking about. You know, humorously, there is a Ruth Company. You know, a generation of young people, there's also a Ruth Company. And God wants us to be Ruths at this time. You know, we've been talking about specific characters in the Bible, and Pastor has been taking us through those guys. And I find Ruth being, of course, we're treating Ruth right now, you know, in church, in this local body. And I find it, you know, very amazing, you know, that Ruth, as much as she was a lady, is someone that we can relate with as young people, as even as singles, you know, because she had a reset in her life, you know. And again, if by the time we talk about Ruth, you see that her history really is, in the quotes, you say, is nothing to write home about. And, you know, is it a kind of, would you have expected something great to come out of her, something worth seeing, knowing where she came from, her historical background? You know, by the time we talk about her, you see, you know, and you can also, you and I can look into our lives and see maybe there are some issues, you know. It might be ancestral, it might be historical, it might be challenges. And you're wondering, can God really make use of me? Or can I be something worth seeing? You know, can I be something worth seeing? Because that's all Ruth means. You know, can something great come out of me? You know, and so by the time we look at Ruth, I want you to know that God has great things in store for you. In a way, they say that they will not be called God's people. We are seeing them being called God's people. Jesus said, where they are saying they cannot make it, we are seeing people who make it through Christ, in Christ. Are we together? And you see, that word Ruth, in fact, I found it as an acronym. You know when you say acronym, it's like saying IMF, FIFA. You know, they all have full meanings. And God was just giving me, you know, what Ruth can mean to you and me. You know, and so I'll just mention some to you. You know, Ruth, the word Ruth in an acronym can mean, let me see, I'd saved it somewhere. Excuse me. Just to encourage us. And we're just going to go through it. We're going to do Ruth 1 to 4, but we're certainly not going to finish it today. But I'm trusting that we'll treat chapter 1 and chapter 2 because, you see, the story of Ruth talks about how we can be reunited, our reunion with Boaz, our heavenly Boaz, which is Lord Jesus. You know, it talks about, it also talks about a relationship, you know, between a man and a woman, you know, that brought forth a man child who now became an ancestor of David. It talks about a woman who was a Moabitess, and they were never supposed to be part of the nation of Israel. She was a woman that was from a tribe born out of incest between Lot and his daughter, and one of his daughters. You understand? So you can see how the life seems so complex and so unattractive, you know, and it seems like a mess. It seems like, what kind of life is this? I know people have different challenges. You know, they're coming from different backgrounds. And you're wondering, can God ever make something out of me? You know, and so when we look into the life of Ruth, of course, we'll see a young girl, you know, and how God turned everything around for her favor and grafted her. And she's, when you look at the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, you find that Ruth is there. Can you believe that? When you look at the genealogy of Joseph, you see two specific people. In fact, you see Rahab, who was a prostitute, and you see Ruth, who was a Moabitess. Never expected to be part of that genealogy. But you see, so if God can do that, how much more you and me? Do you understand? Irrespective of one's past, one's history, one's present challenges, or the things that you are seeing with your eyes, or what men have said. You understand what I'm saying? And then you see what Ruth did and how we can follow her path, and that each and every one of us is a Ruth, and even a better than a Ruth. Right, listen to me. Okay, so let's quickly go through some things. Yeah, I was telling you something about the acronyms of Ruth. And so I had this. Reaching up to him. All right? Rising up to him. Raised up to him. See, the R is raised. Reach. The U is up. The T is to. The H is him. You see, it's all about him. As you see in the story of Ruth, it's a love affair. You see, a love relationship. And you will learn a lot of things as singles about how, first and foremost, in your relationship with the Lord Jesus. The R means reuniting, you know, with him. It's all about union. You see, the Lord Jesus is not looking for slaves. He's looking for a bride. He's looking for companions that he can fellowship with. He's looking for people that he can share things with. He is wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's looking for companions of like nature and ability that can be raised up. The Bible says that when we are in Christ, we've been raised up to him. But we're not just talking about letter. We're not just talking about knowing the scriptures or knowing the Bible or having Bible knowledge. We're talking about reality. And that's why he talks about the Holy Spirit will be the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of reality. So these things that we read in the Word, how are they in our relationship with God, in our lifestyle, and of course in our relationship with men as well? Are we together? And so let's quickly go to Ruth chapter 1. Well, before we go that, I want you to remind you something. I want you to remember something about why we are treating these characters. In 1 Kings chapter 2 verse 3, it talks about the testimonies of God. 1 Kings 2:3. If the screen is working, it makes it fast for me. You know, 1 Kings 2:3. The reason why I'm using my old text Bible and not the digital Bible is because in the course of my study of Ruth, I had written and marked out different things, you know, that I could be able to go back to, you know. I just had more revelation, so I didn't want to start typing it out on my digital device. And so in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 3, it says, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways. Let's read that. To walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his what? Testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. The point there is, those testimonies are the lives of people that reflect the character of God, that reflect the story of God in their lives, that reflect, you know, their transformation from where they were to who God wanted them to be in Christ. And you've seen, you've talked about Joseph, we've talked about Moses, you know, now we're talking about Ruth. Are we together? And so when we look at Ruth, we can look at our lives, and we can see that these Old Testament characters, they are stories, in as much as they are stories, but they are also lessons that we can learn from. And so in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, Romans 15, 4, just to encourage us about why we're looking to these particular characters, it says, whatsoever things, say it together, whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have what? Hope. So these things are supposed to give us hope. You look into the lives of people, you see their mistakes, you learn corrections. You see their mistakes, and even some of us might be making the same mistakes, but then we can see how we can quickly correct it so we can walk like Jesus. See, God is a very transparent person, very honest. And that's why in the Bible, you're not just seeing perfect people. You're seeing very imperfect people going on to perfection. You're seeing very imperfect people that are transformed and changed, you know, in their image and likeness. You're seeing people that had the opportunity to change, and then you see the end of judgment. You're seeing people, you're seeing God saying, this is life and death. This is blessing and cursing. Choose life. And you are seeing some people that will choose life. You are seeing people that are in the path of death. And God, in His mercy and His grace, because they chose life, they went in the path of life. I listen to me. So there are lessons. That's why it says, whatever is written in times past, from Genesis, you know, up to, well, from the Old Testament, let's use the Old Testament, for example, and even the New Testament, you know, whatever has been written, aforetime, they were written for our learning. You know what learning means? That means I can learn from it to correct if I'm in the wrong path, to correct and change. You know, if I'm in the right path, to continue and be encouraged, to be strengthened, you know, in that path. That we through patience, the patience there is consistency, diligence, and what? Comfort of the scriptures, we might have what? Hope. Hope that we can be what God wants us to be. Hope that we can fulfill our purpose and destiny. Hope, you know, that we can make it spiritually, physically, in every area of our lives. Hope that we can become more conformed to the image of Christ. It says, Christ in you, the what? Hope of glory. And when you look into the life of Joseph, you see hope. When you look into the life of Jacob, you see hope. Jacob transformed to Israel. You see hope. If Jacob can make it, I can make it. If Joseph can make it, I can. If Daniel could make it, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If Ruth could make it, if Rahab could make it, there is hope. All right, listen to me. And so, those are things that we need to see. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 6. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. Again, we need to revisit it. 1 Corinthians 10, 6. Go to verse 7. Yeah, so talking, yes, thank you. Verse 6. Now these things were our examples, so the intent we should not lust after things that they lusted. But there's a part there where it also says that these things were written for us, you know, for admonition. Okay, yeah, so let's go into Ruth. We'll just probably do an introduction today about Ruth and her life and how we can also compare it with our own life and where we might be and what we might need to do, you know. And I like the story of Ruth because there are two girls, two ladies, you know, and you see how one progressed, how one didn't progress. Yes, so in chapter 1, verse 1, I'm going to read a verse fast, and where I have my points, we will now discuss it. So it says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Okay, so let's quickly talk about that verse 1. A man called Elimelech, he used to live in Bethlehem, Judah. The meaning of those names, see, it's the meaning of those names that will make you get the revelation of who this man was, what he did, where he moved from right to wrong, and where he made the mistakes, you know, and, you know, what we need to do and what we need to learn from it. And so Bethlehem means house of bread, and Judah means praise. Are we together? Says the lion of the tribe of Judah. Judah means praise. Just like Judas also means praise. But you can see Judas betrayed God. So there is a praise that is in spirit and in truth. There is a praise that can betray God.
And as well as minstrels, it's good to pray, you know, before you praise and worship God, so that in it, we're singing songs that exalt Him and magnify Him and praise Him, and that He can inhabit. The Bible says God inhabits the what? Praises of His people. And so this man moved from the house of bread and praise to what? Moab. Moab was a place where they can do anything. Do you understand? Moab was born out of incest between a father and a daughter. So you have doing things contrary to God's will, contrary to God's word. They moved from a system where there was spiritual bread and praise, you know, and relationship with God, to a place where they could do things the way they wanted. I listen to me. And so there's a worldly system, there's a godly system. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be what? Renewed by the transforming of your mind. Are we listening? And so let's go on. He and his wife and his two sons. It's a bit of a sad thing because he carried his entire family, you know, into that kind of system and situation. Now, the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to the country of Moab and remained there, sadly. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, did what? Died. Remember, they moved from the house of bread and praise to Moab, a completely worldly system. And what happens? What happened to him? They died. Because, you see, the spirit gives life, and the flesh what? Profits nothing. The Bible says that the carnal mind, he that minds the flesh will what? Die. But he that minds the things of the spirit will live. So, God forbid, but if one habitually moves from this, take for example, I can tell you by His mercy and grace, this fellowship is a house of bread, because we're talking the bread. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. The word of God is the bread of life. Are you listening to me? It's not about excitement. It's good excitement. It's not about just activities, you know, engagement without hearing the word of God, without fellowshipping with the word of God in the spirit, without prayer and the word. Of course, we have fun times in December. We always have fun times, and we're working on even having more fun times. But you will never see fun times above the word of God, the delivery of the word, the interaction of the word, the sharing of the word, the praying in the spirit. The emphasis is word, is love, is life, is praying in the spirit. Is not motivational. Is not what just excites my body or excites my flesh. It is true service to God, true worship. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when we are worshiping, it's not just singing songs that excite us. We are singing songs that magnify. And in the place of worship, you can see how the presence of God comes down. I listen to me. And so that's what we're talking about. That's how you say Ruth is reunion with Him, is raised up to Him, is reaching up to Him, is all about Him and becoming more like Him. And so let's continue to read. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, confirming that Romans chapter 8, that he that minds the things of the flesh will die, but he that minds the things of the spirit will live. And the Bible says, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you might have what? Life. And have it what? More abundantly. And not only did Elimelech die, but she was left and her two sons. Now, they took wives of the women of Moab. And you see, when you're in the wrong place, now I know that at the end God turned this around for good, but you see, the guys didn't get to see, they didn't get to procreate one. They didn't get to subdue. The Bible says, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. When a person is at the wrong place, you be with the wrong people, and you will not be able to fulfill, not you, the person will not be able to fulfill their purpose and destiny. So, right place, right time, right people, right resources, right attitude. Trust me, you will experience right destiny, a right fulfillment of your destiny. I listen to me. They made the wrong decision. That turning point of heading south, of heading to Moab, and leaving the house of bread because of seeming inconvenience. There was a famine, we are not talking about the challenges. Like, it's like me telling you about the challenges in Nigeria and say, oh no, there are no challenges in Nigeria. Of course, we know there are challenges in Nigeria. And that's why Prof and I, by His mercy and grace, we always say that you must be at the right place at the right time. It's not just about the jackpot syndrome. Now, there's nothing wrong with traveling if God has told you and God tells you to, you should move. But it's important to be at the right place at the right time. You know, my youth service by His mercy and grace at the right place at the right time. Wherever I am, whatever I'm doing. That's why it's, you must always consult God. You must always pray, irrespective of your feelings and the inconvenience that you might be going through. That's why it's always good to commit things. The Bible says, commit thy works unto the Lord and he will establish thy thoughts. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he will what? Direct thy steps. If it says move, move. If it doesn't say move, don't move, don't move. That same place that you are, because of you, God can turn things around. You can make a Goshen in the midst of Egypt. It is possible. I listen to me. So it's always important to pray and to know God's will. And when you don't know it, after you've prayed first, you can consult people that are spiritually mature who will encourage you. I listen to me. But like I always say, it's not a substitute for you praying, no. So that the person that is going to talk to you will be talking from God. I listen to me. Excellent. So let's continue reading. And so now they took wives of women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. So now you see, all the guys are dead. And so there remains just Naomi, Orpah, and who? Ruth. Now, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard what? In the country of Moab that the Lord had what? Visited his people by giving them what? Bread. That same house of bread that seemingly had famine, now God visited them. And they heard the sound all over that now there was bread. So all them that had run out, observe that there are still some people in Bethlehem, Judah. Why didn't they too go? They weren't told to leave. They didn't, out of inconvenience of a situation. As I'm talking, you can relate to that. I always say, scan your heart, scan your life, and check. You know, out of some inconvenience, you are making some urgent decisions that you are not consulting God. Or out of desperation. Do you understand? Out of desperation and discomfort, you are making some very, very crucial decisions that might not pay you. And so that's why, for them, you can see how it has cost them. Because they made the wrong decisions and choices and wrong habits. You know? But you can see that ultimately God in his mercies had visited them in Bethlehem, Judah, and these guys had heard in Moab. And you know what? That's why she took her leave again. And so she heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, that they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each one to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband. So, you see Naomi trying to encourage them, look, you know what? You guys just go back. Go and begin a new life. Go and do whatever. Your husbands are dead. You know, the Bible actually says in the New Testament that when a man dies, you know, or your wife dies, the man is actually free to remarry, or the woman is free to remarry. You are no more bound to that relationship or covenant. I listen to me. So that's what she was encouraging them to do. Like, look, just go back. By the time you see that she told them that even if I marry now, I can't give birth to a man that you guys can marry, that you girls can marry. So I just advise you, go back to your word, go back to your gods, as you get to see. It says, but both of them, so she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. They're trying to be emotional. But you know, in this kind of relationships and deep relationship with God, and your fellowship with God, and even with men, you can't be emotional about spiritual things. You have to be realistic. You have to find out God's will. I listen to me. And so, but Naomi said to her, observe what Naomi is doing. And this comes to us every time we hear the word of God. You are going to find winds of doctrine that will come against you and test what you have heard and what you are hearing. That will test your relationship. Your relationship with God, your relationship with men and women, your relationship with your colleagues, your relationship in class, in your hostel. And so Naomi says, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband if I should say I have hope.
If I should say I have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Two things. Two very important things. Who is Naomi? Naomi is a kind of word that will want you to always turn back from hearing the word of God. It's going to go contrary. Naomi is the thing that will test you. It will test your relationship with God. Let me put it that way. It's the Bible talks about every wind of tossed and fro by every wind of doctrine. It's going to test whether what you're really hearing, you really believe it. It's going to check whether, you know, that word on purity and patience, that word on love, on joy, you know, it will check whether it's really worth it. It will ask. It will test it. I wrote it here. Naomi blamed God for her own unwise choices. And then Orpah, as you get to see, was blown away by the negative confession of Naomi and misrepresentation of God to Naomi. You know, there are many young people that are turning back from God because of seeming misrepresentation of God to them. That is not a right. That's why, you see, as young people, we need to learn to seek God and find God. Now, does this do away with the fact that you need to have mentors and older generation you need to follow? No, certainly not. But really, it is really a test of our hearts. Observe what I said. With this same Naomi was the one that connected her, as you get to see, for her to fulfill her destiny. But you see, just like Elijah, you see, because what we're dealing with here are hearts. We're not just dealing with pleasing men or emotions. We're dealing with purpose and destiny. We're coming to a path, a time in our lives where, as young adults, God is watching, and I don't know whether to use the word hoping, and God wants us to get to a place where we can use our own free will to seek Him, to love Him, to serve Him. All right, listen to me. So this was a test of, oh, I'm not just going to church because my dad is going to church, or because my mom is going to church, or because as a church my mom is going, or because my friend is going to that fellowship. I'm beginning to get to a point where I'm making decisions based on the fact that, based on revelation and understanding, and ready to take responsibility for the decisions I'm making. Thank God for the times that we've been trained. See, that's what, so it looked like an opportunity. It was an exam. It was an exam of the test of their wills and what they've been hearing, what they've been believing. Yes, I've been working with this woman, Naomi. Yes, she's by rule or by law, my mother-in-law. That's what we call it, mother-in-law. Do you understand? And now the woman is giving me opportunity to go back, to do the way I like, what I want to do, how I want to behave, or to stick to the ways and the training and what I believe and what I've seen in her life, that this woman, she's actually different. She's different from the way we used to do things in Moab. You know, they don't burn children. In Moab, they had their own god, Moloch, and they fry babies. They roast babies. You know, you don't even want to talk about those kind of things. It was about idolatry. That's why when Naomi was talking to them, just like Elijah told Elisha, don't follow me, or you don't need to follow me, just stay there. But Elisha said, no, I'm following you. See, it was a test of their hearts. It was an exam for Elisha. Elijah might not have known that it was a test. He was just telling him, look, you really don't have to follow me. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. But do you as an Elisha have a passion and an understanding of what you are doing and why you are doing what you are doing? Have you gotten to a place where you are beginning to understand why you are doing what you are doing? Even if you don't know right now, but you are beginning to knock on the door and say, I want to have my own personal revelation of my relationship with God. Thank God for the God of my fathers. But I now want to know the God of my fathers for myself. By myself. Do you understand what I'm saying? By the time I get to university, for example, you're no more at home. I know for some people, they went to boarding house even in secondary school. But in university, you know, there's that quote and unquote seeming freedom and liberty to do whatever you want to do. Nobody watching over you per se. You've gotten to that point where you now have to make up your mind about what you are doing, why you are doing what you are doing, how you are going to do what you are doing. Do you understand? The kind of relationship you want to form. Especially your relationship with God, you know, fundamentally, your relationship and the kind of friends you are going to carry around, the kind of habits, you know, and relationships and habits you are going to form.
And so that's the kind of space and states Orpah and Ruth were. So Naomi, like we said here, has seeming negative confessions because of the things that had happened, because they had moved, their unwise decisions had cost them. May God have mercy. You understand what I'm saying? Unwise decisions cost people, and then people start blaming God. No, it's not God's fault. That's why in every situation it's good to pray, guys. It's good to acknowledge God. What one doesn't know, let us say we don't know it. Do you understand? The Bible says that we should not think above who we are and what we are. We should not also think below who we are and what we are. Are we together? And that's why there are steps. And when even one misses it, one can quickly repent and ask for mercy. And mercy, the Bible says that mercy always prevails over judgment. But you don't want it to get to this kind of state of Naomi. In fact, Naomi, you know, she renamed herself to Mara and called herself Mara. You know what Mara means? Bitter. The situation was bitter. Losing husband, losing sons, God forbid. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you know, there might be bitter situations and challenges in one's life, but there is hope. You return to Bethlehem, Judah. You return to the house of bread. You return to the word of God and praise. I listen to me. They returned. But observe what she did. She didn't want to inconvenience anybody. She said, and so when she said that, in verse 14, like I said, note that, it's not God that caused the issue. It was the unwise choices. Do you understand? And then observe, out of frustration and bitterness, you know, of situation, she made those words and those confessions, which in the situation was going to be a test to the heart of Orpah and Ruth. And again, observe, it looked like she was misrepresenting God, because she was saying that God is the one that had done it to her. So an average young person, an average single, like Orpah and Ruth, will say, oh boy, it's true. This is their God. Share, I won't follow this kind of God. Share. It's an opportunity for me to go back to do the things I want to do, Jare. This thing isn't even working. It's an opportunity for me to go back to do what I want to do, Jare. God will understand. Are you listening to me? Is it making sense? Now, look at what Ruth said. Then they both lifted up their voices and wept again. Just like Elisha and the other prophets that were following Elijah. They both understood what was about to happen to Elijah, that was about to be taken. You know? And so, now check this out. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. I'm a girl. Yeah? Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. She did the natural, yes, affection. I appreciate you, ma, you know. God will have mercy on you. She used the Christianese. She's still saying, God will have mercy. It is well, ma. You know, we understand. God will do a new thing. You know what those Christianese. She kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Now that's the difference. Ruth clung to her. How are you clinging? Are you clinging, or are you just giving a soft kiss affection to the word of God and the truth that you hear, especially when it's inconvenient and you have opportunities to do other things? You know, I mean, like instructions that we hear in this place about the path of life, waking up early to pray, Bible reading and study. You know, it looks like a tight and narrow way. You know, are we just kissing it? Now, this isn't nice. So, but when it comes to the practice, we don't cling to it. So you see Ruth clinging to the woman. This woman is saying that there is no child left coming from this Naomi. I'm old, I'm ragged, and I'm an older generation, you know. It's not, it's baby boomers, there's millennials, there's Gen Z, you know. And so there can be that gap. She's saying that, look, I don't really think I have anything to offer you. It was a check on her heart, on their hearts. And so, the Bible tells us, and she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back. You know what Orpah means? Orpah means turning back. The girl fulfilled her name to the letter. But let me tell you something. Don't say, maybe her name is a curse. We could have said it the other way. If Orpah followed Naomi, we would have said she turned back. Do you understand? That she turned her back on Moab. So don't tell me, her destiny was sealed. No, it's going to be either way. I've said before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You're the one that's going to choose it. So I will now see how your name and your character fulfills purpose and helps you to fulfill purpose and destiny. So Orpah fulfilled it in the negative way of turning it back to Moab. And now see what she said. See what Ruth said. So see what Naomi said. So in it all, Naomi was still, it looked like she was drunk when she was saying all those things, but she was still talking sense. She knew what she was doing. There was still light in the midst of the situation and seeming depression. Says, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her what? To her what? It's only the choir that's talking. And to her what? Gods. What did she say? Return after your sister-in-law. But what did Ruth say? See, this is where Ruth got born again. We're going to relate. It's important to relate and be able to see this life, the lives of these people in the New Testament light. So we can check ourselves whether we are Orpahs or whether we are Ruths, and where we need to quickly return and turn back. See, this message is a message of, I said, is Ruth. Repent unto him. Return unto him. Revive unto him. Raised up unto him. Renewed unto him. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so it says, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you, or to what? Turn back, or to Orpah from following after you. For wherever you go, I will what? Go. Wherever you lodge, I will what? Lodge. Your what? Your what? Who were her people? Israel, which is a type of the church, which is a type of the body of Christ. Your people will be my people. And your what? Your what? Shall be my God. Where you what? Die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more, so if anything but death parts you and me. Let's quickly see that. Entreat me not to leave you, or to turn back from following you. Give me 1 Corinthians 11:1. And these are lessons for us. We'll be done shortly. At least we'll see that she got born again. We'll see that. We'll see the next life and check our own lives too. It says, imitate me just as I what? Also what? Imitate Christ. So you can see what this lady is doing here. She's beginning to, for a New Testament Christian, as a Ruth, a New Testament Ruth, you and me, she's beginning to align to this Christ thing. She's beginning to look for people that are following Christ. She says, entreat her not to leave you, or to turn back from what? Following you, from imitating you, from copying you. And so it's important that you know that you need people that are following after Christ. Orpah went back to her gods. She went back to her people. The ways of the world. You know, the lackadaisical, lazy, worldly way of doing things. Canal. Do you understand? Not spiritually minded in any way of following someone that is following Christ. Now, the next thing is, wherever you go, I will go. Give me Romans 14:4. Romans 14:4. No, this is not what I want. Sorry. Give me Philippians 3:7. Philippians 3:7. That was what I wanted to say. Philippians 3:7. Philippians 3:7. Yeah, so look at this. It says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted what? Loss for Christ. The seeming liberty of doing whatever I want to do, however I want to do it, that Orpah seemed to have of going back to the world, thinking like the world, talking like the world, behaving like the world, the what they will call liberty. Liberty to sin. That's all God gave us. God gave us liberty to serve him, liberty to obey him, liberty to love him. Do you understand? Liberty to delight in him. Now, go to the next verse. Now, this is Ruth. This is a Ruth heart. Yet, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellency of what? Knowledge of Christ Jesus. Your God will be my God. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as what? Rubbish, that I may gain what? Christ. So this message of Christ, that I can be like Christ, that in Christ I have a beautiful, glorious destiny, that I can grow up, I should mature, I should be born again. I should be baptized in the Holy Spirit and begin to grow and be conformed to the image of Christ. On the Zionist website, to put that, Christianity is as simple as ABC. which is accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. B, be baptized in the Holy Spirit. C, conform to the image of Christ. D, do his works, and even greater. And we can go on. Are you listening to me? And so, this is what Ruth, you can see Ruth begins to pursue Christ, begins to pursue the heart of God through her own heart, even when she had an opportunity to do things broad and wide way that leads to destruction. We never heard of Orpah again. Have you heard of her? We never heard of her. And like I told you, when you're looking at the genealogy of the people that reproduced the Christ, Ruth was the grandmother of David, wasn't she? Yeah. Grandmother of David. And through that lineage, genealogy, you have Christ. Are you listening to me? So anytime they are talking about the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the God of Gods, the Lord of Lords, who is there? Ruth is there. And see, that's how it can be for you and me. As you can reproduce Christ in your heart and your life, you can reproduce Christ in your family, you can reproduce Christ in your relationships, you can reproduce Christ in your health, in your finance, you can reproduce Christ in every area of your life for men to see and say, ah, I will follow you, I will serve your God. Do you understand? Your God will be my God, your people will be my people. And so let's go on. Where are we going? What verse is this? Okay, give me verse 9. Let me just quickly read through and see. And we found him not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, and so on and so forth. We'll probably come back to that. Now, she also said that where you are buried, I will be buried. Where you die, I will die. She made a confession of faith. Your God will be my God. Give me Romans 10, 9 to 10. That's what I'm trying to emphasize, the importance of being born again. You see, we are seeing the life of Ruth from conception of Christ in her to perfection. A seemingly unidentified or useless, someone from a useless lineage that out of change and repentance and humility and revelation and honesty knew that this God and this word that I'm hearing here and this woman is talking about, there's something about them that is different from the idols and the gods of this world and this Moab that we serve and the way they do things. There's a way they do things in their family that is just different. The kind of God. It's not as if Naomi and Elimelech were serving God where they were. It's not that they were at the wrong place. Do you understand? They still had a heart for God. They still showed God. And that's why Ruth said, your God will be my God. There's something about you guys. And wherever you go, I will go. I don't want to do things the way they're doing things here. It might look like they are succeeding for a while, but we know that it's transit and it's destruction at the end. We know they are destroying lives and homes and babies, you know, the gods that they are serving. And so he says, if you confess with your mouth, which is what Ruth did, and if many of us haven't done it, we must do it tonight. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what? Salvation. So you see how Ruth got saved. You see how Ruth and we, the young people, as Ruth, can get born again, can get saved ourselves. She had to make that. It wasn't enough to kiss. It wasn't enough to even cling. She had to possess and confess it. And even when I'm born again, it's not enough for me to kiss the word and enjoy it in fellowship. It's not enough for me to cling and say, this is my fellowship and this is my pastor. It's important for you to begin to confess and say these things. Say the confessions of love. Say the confessions of life. Pray the Pauline prayers. Open your mouth. You see, your salvation is by your confession. I, your pastor, I can pray for you. You know, we talk about jumpstarts, you know, but I cannot drive your car for you. Your salvation and your growth is your responsibility. We can provide the enabling environment, the instructions, the prayers to help us to flourish, to increase the grace, the power. But it's important for you to know that you need to start taking that word yourself and put it in your mouth. The confession, you say the word is nigh you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may what? Do. It's just like I can't eat for you naturally. Again, in the spirit, so I can't eat for you. If I keep eating your food, now me go belly full and go enjoy. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's important for you to start speaking the word. You can see what Ruth did. It wasn't enough to cling. It wasn't enough, even though the word that was coming seemed contrary. She said, no, I'm going for this thing. I listen to me. And so, let's see how far we can go. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem, and it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited. The body of Christ will always be excited for your return, you know. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara," which means bitterness. Naomi means pleasant. "For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." No, be true. "I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty." No. "Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me?" No. "And the Almighty has afflicted me." No. Out of my own unwise choices, out of Naomi's unwise choices, she experienced what she experienced. There is a way that seems right to a man, but at the end is destruction. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem. Now this is a very important part. At the beginning of barley harvest. You have to recognize that in the New Testament, there are different kinds of harvest. There is wheat harvest, there is barley harvest, and there is grape harvest. You have to recognize that in Israel, they have three feasts. They have Passover, which is for us as New Testament Christians, when Jesus died, he died during Passover. We celebrate, what do we celebrate during Passover? When Jesus died. What? Easter. Good. So, for Israel and the church, there are parallels to those feasts. There's Passover, which is our Easter time, and which is also their own Passover time, which was when Jesus was crucified. He's a Passover lamb. Are you listening to me? Then 50 days later, there is another harvest, there is another feast. So you have the wheat harvest, then you have the barley harvest. Do you understand? You have another harvest, which was during 50 days, and he told them, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you're what? Endued with power from on high," which was when they received the Holy Ghost, Pentecost, praying in the Spirit. I listen to me. So you have a feast, Passover, which is our own Easter. Then 50 days later, of course, they didn't know it was going to be during Pentecost or during that harvest, that the Holy Spirit came down when they were united in the upper room. I listen to me. Then, of course, there is a third feast, which is when they harvest grapes and wine, which also has a parallel in the Christian, but that's what we're talking about today. I want to let you know, in Ruth getting to Bethlehem, Judah, with Naomi, during that barley harvest, during that Pentecost time, signifies to us as a Christian that you must get baptized in the Holy Spirit. You have seen how she said, "Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die." You know, when Paul was talking about death, when you get born again, he was relating to being born again and baptized in water. He says that, give me Romans chapter 6. You see, we are just relating Old Testament scriptures and stories to our own lives as New Testament saints, and how we can be New Testament Ruths and experience the kind of thing that she experienced, and even greater. In Romans chapter 6, give me Romans chapter 6 verse 1. I'll just end with that. It says, "What then shall we say? Shall we continue sin that grace may abound?" Go on. Go on. Next verse. Now, it says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ, we are baptized into his" what? "Death. Where you die, I will die." Go on to the next verse. "Therefore we were" what? "Buried with him through baptism into death." When you get born again, you die to the old man. The old man died. Do you understand? It says, "Old things are passed away. All things are" what? "Become new. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we too we should walk in" what? "Newness of life." Give me verse 5. "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his" what? "Death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his" what? "Resurrection." You see, when you get born again and then baptized in water, they take you into the water, signifying that you died with Jesus. Jesus died. And then they bring you out, signifying that you got resurrected just like him. It's just a sign. That's what gets you born again. What gets you born again is what Ruth did. Confession. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, then you'll be made righteous. The other part was to take you into the water and to bring you out, signifying that you died with him. Where you die, I will die, you know, and you raised up with him. And that was how they bring you out of the water. I listen to me. That's the importance and that's the significance of baptism in water. So you can see that Ruth has passed through those two things. The third one she has passed through, or the second one that she's passing through, is that they are landing in Bethlehem, Judah, in the time of harvest, in the time of barley harvest, in the time of Pentecost, which is a type of you and me being baptized in the Holy Spirit. I listen to me. Because of time, I'll have to stop here. But I want you to know something that happens in chapter 2, which we'll deal with next week. And then chapter 3. As you begin to see her meet a man, the kinsman, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the kinsman redeemer. A type of Jesus, King Jesus, the owner of a field, a church. Because the Bible tells us that her harp fell in a field. The Bible tells us that the whole world, we'll see all this next week, but the Bible does tell us that the whole world is a field. That is, the harvest is plenty. The field is white in the world, and the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. So when we're talking about the field, we'll get to say about Boaz, that Boaz had a big field. He was a rich guy. You understand what I'm saying? And so, but in the midst of the world, God has his own people. God has his own field that has reapers. Do you understand? He has his own people. You see other ladies there, other men that you need to have relationship with. And you see that you need to go to Boaz. You need to meet Boaz. You need to know Boaz. And you begin to say that Boaz liked her. And we'll talk about relationships. You understand what I'm saying? But you can see that how this girl's life is beginning to sweeten. Because once she followed her mother-in-law, which she always submitted to, she wasn't a rude generation. She was a Ruth generation. She wasn't a woman that did not submit and say, oh, like Orpah, kill our guys, this woman, what can she offer me in life? This is old generation, this is baby boomers. We need to do things our own way, you know. And that's why she turned back. Well, you can see Ruth maintained a relationship with a mentor, you know, an older generation, mature, who knew God, and she had seen God in that woman's life, irrespective of the challenges of that woman. And so, irrespective of the imperfection of an older generation, she did not turn that generation down. She did not throw the baby away with the bathwater, as they say. She still held on because there were core things in that woman's life that meant life or death to her own destiny. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, where there seems to be that liberty for me to do whatever I want to have, there is somebody that I need to be accountable to, irrespective of the generational gap that we might have, and the maturity, and even the seeming imperfection in her life. Mind you, as you get to see, it's Naomi that got her a husband. It's Naomi that began to give her secrets. See, Naomi is not a bad person, no. It's just situation that caused it. But when she now became at the right place at the right time, oh boy, all the life, the light, the resources, the wisdom that you need to fulfill your purpose and destiny, you now begin to see the woman manifest. You begin to see the generation that you thought that was useless, or the way they are doing things is not like, oh, they are too slow, go slow. No. You begin to see that, oh boy, they know what's up. Are we together? And so, we'll stop here. I just want you to bow your head and talk to God. Next week, and it's something I'm going to start to do, that we're going to be doing Zion City Fellowship, about the field. You begin to find significant things in that field. And we said that field means a local church that Boaz is head, Boaz owns. Yes, the world, the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof. But within the earth and the world, God has his local church. You begin to see that it's not enough for me to just come to fellowship. I must have a local church. In that local church where I am, I have a meaningful relationship with Boaz, the lover of my soul. I have a meaningful relationship with the people, the reapers. You begin to see the importance of having being a local church where there's evangelism, because those are the reapers. They go out to reap. They love winning souls. They are soul winners. Those are reapers. They go out to the campuses. They go out into the city. They talk to people about Jesus, about Boaz and his field. You begin to see those other things and qualities that we need to have to reach up to him. And so I want to talk to God that, God, oh Lord God, thank you for this life of Ruth. Thank you for the example. If I'm already born again, help me to remain rooted and not turn back.
to the ways of the world and the ways that the world does things. It's not turned back to carnality. These are instructions. Don't let me just kiss them. Don't even just let me cling to them. Let me begin to confess them. To experience salvation like Ruth, moved from Moab into Bethlehem, Judah. And following Naomi, they reached Bethlehem, Judah during the time of harvest, a time of Pentecost, a type of praying in the Spirit. That you fill me afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit. I won't just speak the word. I'll even pray in the Spirit about the word. As I confess the word, I'll also pray in tongues. I'm praying in the Spirit about it daily. And I'll remain accountable to a Naomi, a type of my pastor, a type of mature Christian. Follow me as I follow Christ. Someone that is following Christ. Someone that is rich with your wisdom and revelation knowledge of your word. And by the Spirit will guide me to all truth. Let's just pray together. Say, Heavenly Father, we confess our sins. We return and repent. We return unto you, our Boaz. Return to you, and we ask for mercy, that you grant us strength and grace, like Ruth, that will not turn back. We will not turn back, but we will return unto you, repenting, confessing your word unto salvation. That will be doers of what we hear. We will not just kiss your word. We will not just be hearers of the word. We will be doers of the same. That you will help us. You will baptize us afresh with your Spirit, with the evidence of praying and speaking with other tongues. In the name of Jesus, grant us grace to be rooted and grounded in your word, in your truth, in your love, to the praise and glory of your name, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Father, for Zakaturia. Thank you, Lord, Joseph. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Help us to move, Rabashaya, like Ruth. Thank you, beyond Passover, Kateria, beyond baptized, beyond Bologod, Father, being born again through Laskaya, beyond baptized in the Holy Spirit, Bakaria through Liska, help us, Mashiach, to begin to know you by revelation, to begin to understand you, Lord, fresh relationship, koinonia, communion with you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord God, to remain humble, Lord God, unto our oversight, those that dish out the instruction of your word, that is life, Lord God. Help us with all of our hearts to seek you, to love you, to fear you, to walk with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to invite Brother David, you know, please quickly come downstairs, 3 minutes to talk about something we want to do next week. We've done this in Poly, but we want to reach out to more people. You know, I'm going to talk about this more in detail, but I mentioned part of it about Boaz's field, and you know how you can recognize the kind of local church you can go. See, Ruth didn't just stay at home with Naomi and become useless. She said, let me go out. You know, let me go and reap something for us that will benefit us and will bless us. You know, let me go to a local church and find a church I can join. You know, that's when, by his mercy, somehow, God in his mercies, Bible says God rules in the affairs of men, her harp fell upon Boaz's field, which was who she was going to marry at the end. She did not know. But because of her heart, because she was born again, because she was baptized in the Spirit, so to speak, quote unquote, like we're talking about, God, the Holy Spirit himself was guiding her and leading her in the way. But as many as are what? Led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And you begin to see what happened in that field and how, you know, Boaz loved her and how there were reapers and how there were other men and women in that field. And so I'll just invite Brother David to talk about what we want to do next week in UI.
Hi, church. Okay. So, the pastor shared something on Wednesday. I don't know if you listened online. And he said that, I'm not trying to scare you, but he said the reason why people will be in heaven and they will be weeping is because they will realize that there were things that they could have done on earth which they never got to do. And, of course, there will be consequences. Of course, there's going to be comfort, but then that thought is going to remain in your heart forever. And one of the things that God has called us to do is to be ambassadors of Christ, is to be ministers of reconciliation. God has stored up so much in you that you're not even aware of, that the world needs right now. Amen. So based on this, we ought to reach out to people on a regular basis. And don't say, what do I have to say? I don't know, has it ever happened to you that you just call someone just to tell them something, and then they are like, I needed to hear that. Anybody, has it ever happened to you? Please, if it has happened, can I see your hands up? Like, So, you see, that means there's something in you that God wants to release. The fact that you can pick up your phone and call someone, and God ministers to someone through you, that's just an indication that there's so much more. You know, in one of the parables that Lord Jesus Christ gave, about the field, he says that it's like the kingdom of God is like a man, he found a pearl of great price. When he found it, he went to sell all he had to purchase that land. Now, if you find gold somewhere, it just means there is so much more. So the experience you've had in ministering to people, in reaching out to others, is just an indication that there is so much more that is within you that God wants to release. So based on this, I would like to encourage us as much as possible. Now, we're going to be having it on a consistent basis. We'll be going to places. Next week, Saturday, we're going to UI to reach out to people. But even on a daily basis, trust me, there are people around you that just need a word of encouragement. That just need a touch from God through you. God is not going to come back down right now and touch somebody. Mm-mm. And Jesus Christ said in John 14, he said that he that has seen me has seen the Father. Amen. So please, I'm just trying to stir our hearts up towards that. That there's something in you that the world needs. There's a light in you that the world needs to see. So if you are interested at the end of the service, Virginidu, please. Yeah, please just see him. He will take down your name. We'll add you to the WhatsApp group. We've been praying for two days now, towards it, 1 hour, Saturdays and Mondays, just to generate power, because we're not going to sell tickets for an event. We are going to evangelize, and evangelism requires power. So we'll be praying Saturday evening, that's 8 to 9, then Monday again. Then we'll go out next Saturday by God's grace. So please, I want to believe that everybody here will write down their names, because we are all Christians. Like I said, we are not inviting people for a show. This is evangelism, and we are all to play a part in it. We all have a part to play in it. Amen. Thank you.
So thank you so much. So you see Brother Chinedu at the end, you know, like we said, a quality of a good fellowship, you know. Being in the right field is evangelism. You find reapers. They are soul winners. You know, they love the souls. They love to win. So they that win their souls is what? Wise, you know. We know our soul is our mind and emotions, but also it starts from let's tell people, you know, about Jesus. Let them hear about what he's doing in our lives. The Bible says that Philip, when he was talking to the Ethiopian, one thing, because I myself used to be afraid to talk to people, was that, and he set me free. And Philip opened his mouth. And that's how that scripture started. And from there is history. He saved a whole Enoch, a whole province, you know, Africa, by his grace and mercy. And so you yourself, you just need to open your mouth. All these things that you're hearing, you have it loaded in you. You know, when you pray in the spirit, you know what to tell somebody that will bless the person. You know, and so the Lord will help us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's just